Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of grace which you bestowed upon us and give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church for this kingdom and the next one to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I think I can honestly say this is the very first time that I've been in a church sanctuary on Super Bowl Sunday without anybody wearing a jersey. Have you noticed that? No one has a jersey on today. They don't have the right teams in there, right? Go 49ers. I heard someone say go 49ers. As I began thinking about the month of February, I thought to myself, we're in a new month. We're in a new year. We're just starting off in 2020. And so I wanted to have a series just before the season of Lent of life issues that we can focus in on before Lent begins. The subject matter today is one that I think most people can relate to and identify with. It's about worry. Does anybody in here ever worry? There was a plane that was going down and there were four people on it. There was a medical expert, the smartest man in the world, a minister, and a young nerd. And as the plane was going down, they realized they only had three parachutes. And so the medical expert said, "My medical expertise is unfounded. The world needs me." And he grabbed a parachute and jumped out. The most brilliant man in the world says, "My brilliance is unparalleled. No one else in this whole entire world is as smart as I am. The world needs me." And he grabbed a parachute and went down. Then the pastor, being the sacrificial lamb, said, "Don't worry, son. I've lived a long and prosperous life. You shall have the last parachute." And the nerd looked at him and said, "Well, there's actually two parachutes here for both of us. The smartest man in the world actually took my backpack." Worry is something we all can relate to. It's something we all identify with. And I don't expect after the sermon is over that we'll just flip a switch and not worry again. But I wanted to just kind of look at this matter of worry. Jesus says it does nothing for us. It can't extend our life. It can't give us greater health. It can't do anything for us. Worry actually doesn't do anything for us. And yet we live in a worrisome world, don't we? We're going to worry as much today as we will tomorrow about something. We live in a worrisome world. Jesus says these exact words. How many of you can actually gain an extra hour to your life by worrying about anything? We gain nothing by it, folks, and yet we still do it. And I expect tomorrow we will be in that situation again. I've always said that worry has a lot to do with control. Did you know that? And I think this manifests itself in two ways. One is we like to maintain control. Whatever it is that we have control over, we like to maintain control. Think about your own comfort and convenience, folks. We like our lifestyles to be secure and stable and comfortable. We like convenience in our lives. And that makes us feel like we're in control. Now, take away any of those things, folks. Take away security, take away stability, take away comfort, take away convenience, and we are suddenly irritated if you take any of those away. I've often wondered what will happen to the U.S. once we run out of oil. There will be mass chaos, folks, I fear, unless there's another plan already in place to compensate for that oil. But that gives us all four of those things. The other way that worry manifests itself is we want to have more control over something. So we're not in a position where we feel like we have enough control. We want more control. and worry can manifest itself that way. I have a confession to make to every one of you. As soon as I get in a car and get behind a wheel, I get stressed out these days. Do you do the same? I feel like, when I get behind a wheel, I often think to myself, why can't these people drive like I do? Anybody ever think that way? Just a poetic or a philosophical note to folks, have you ever noticed that anybody driving slower than you is an idiot? And anybody driving faster than you is a maniac? Have you ever noticed that? Why can't they just drive like me? And I get really stressed out behind the wheel because people are going through stop signs and going through red lights and pulling out in front of you and not going anywhere. And I'm like, oh, come on, Alberta. So that's another way that worry manifests itself. It's that we want to either maintain control or we want to increase our control over something. And as I said, I'm fully aware that we can't flip a switch and not worry about things. It's a part of our life. But what can we do to lessen worry in our lives? I've got a few suggestions. First of all, Jesus says these words to us. Do not worry. Can we repeat those three words? Do not worry. This is what he says. Do not worry what we will eat or drink or what we will wear, for your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his own righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Therefore, I try to keep this thought in my mind at times. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. Right? Okay. How can we reduce the amount of worry in our lives? How can we live in such a worrisome world and not get caught up in the world's drama? One of the things that I notice about this scripture is that Jesus is really concerned about three areas. He's concerned about what we'll eat, where we'll live, and our clothing on our backs. Those are the things he says, why are you worried about these? I must confess to you that most of my worry has nothing to do with any of those things. It doesn't have to do with what I'm wearing. It doesn't have to do with whether or not I have food on the table. It doesn't have to do with whether or not I have clothes on my back. Most of my worry is over other things. You ever feel that way? Most of my worry is, how can I balance my home life with my work life, with my gym life? Can I get my son to school on time? Look, the train just came by. Am I going to be late somewhere? Am I going to have to postpone something? Is something more important than the other? These are things that I worry about. And Jesus says, you shouldn't worry about any of that. He says, if you're going to worry about something, worry about three things. Whether you have sustenance and whether or not you have warmth. And I usually worry over other things. I think one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves is, who cares? I mean, that's a rhetorical question. Who cares? Is this really important? In the big picture of things, folks, is it important who wins the Super Bowl today? Vonda says yes. 49ers and Chiefs fans say, yes, it is. It really is. I mean, when we think about things that affect masses of people, loss of water, hurricanes, tornadoes, those are things that matter. They really are, because they affect lots of human lives. If I get upset because my team didn't win, does that really matter? So I think that's one of the questions we have to ask. Who cares? Who cares? Is this really important? One thing that I think we can do to lower our stress, folks, and this is really difficult. We live in a world full of rational thought. We live in a world of defending ourselves and justifying ourselves. And yet, if you read the scriptures, Jesus never did that. He spoke his peace and he moved on. I think sometimes we are called to speak our peace and move on. He never said why he was with the Samaritan woman. He never said why he used this good Samaritan as he did. He simply spoke his peace. We shouldn't be in a position to have to defend ourselves or justify ourselves for choices that we make. We do this. We rationalize, and we live in this world of rational living. Really, the only thing things that we should be concerned about is focused on the greater good. It's not about me. It's not about my selfish wants. It's not about my selfish needs. It's not about my selfish desires. It is all about everyone else's. I think that's the message that Jesus brought to us. It's not about you. It's about how you respond to the needs of others. And I think that's one way that we can lower the stress in our life. Speak our peace and move on. Religion has always been a countercultural movement. The focus on the greater good these days is certainly a countercultural movement in the world in which we live. Now, here's the difficult thing to do, folks, because I think this is the most important thing to do. If you really want to lower the amount of worry in your lives, and you have to work on this, we've got to give it up. If you really want to lower the amount of stress in your lives and anxiety and worry, you have to let go and let God. That's the big challenge for us. We have to be willing to let God take over something. Because truly, folks, when you let go of something and let God take over it, it liberates you. There is a transformation that occurs, but we've got to be willing to let go of it. We can't hold strings onto it. We can't attach strings, and we can't say, okay, God, here's how I want you to do it. We've got to be able to say, I put this in your hands, Lord, and now do with this what you will. At some point in our lives, my wife and I will need to give up our child. Francisco is probably not going to be independent, and that will be one of the most difficult moments of our lives. I have an autistic son, for anybody who doesn't know. That is going to be one of the most difficult things that I think we'll ever do. We'll be in a position to let go and let God. Okay, Lord, it's out of our hands. Do with him what you will. And I can tell you that's going to be, that in just saying that, that's a difficult thing. But I think also with letting go and letting God take care of everything, there's a counterpoint to that. We have to be deliberate and intentional in our belief that God will take care of it. We have to be deliberate and intentional in understanding that something terrible has happened, a terrible circumstance, a terrible situation, a crisis, a tragedy. And now we lift it up to you, Lord, and we believe that you will take care of it. If you don't believe that God will take care of the most stressing matters of your life, and if this is an issue which is Christ-centered and God-centered in your life, and it takes time for this, folks, and there's a lot of hurt involved with this, but if you eventually come to the point where you truly don't believe that God will take care of it, that God will take care of these circumstances, then you really haven't let it go. And I believe that if we're living Christ-centered lives and things are important to us, these same things are also important to God. And that God will intervene in bad circumstances. And I believe that God is already working on a situation, working on an end result in these things. I truly believe, this is me, folks. I truly believe that if something were to happen to me today, my family would be fine. My wife would raise the kids in a way, in a manner which is Christ-centered. She would be a great mother to them. I believe that they would grow up always with a roof over their head, with clothes on their back, with food on the table. I believe that she will do the best possible job that she could do in raising them. And I believe that our kids will be normal and fruitful and effective members of society. Because I believe that God will take care of things if something were to happen to me today. For every great worry in our lives, folks, believe that God is taking care of this even as we speak. That God has a solution to your problem, and that God is looking to resolve that in your soul. Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough worries on its own. So try to keep a God-centered and Christ-centered mind in your life. Know that you're not alone. And know that, I believe, God and Jesus are already working for a solution in your life and in mine. So let's attempt to keep divine guidance above everything else. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come to you this morning with heavy hearts, with anxiety, with sadness, with worry in our lives. And not only do we worry about things, but we live in a worrisome world. We live in a world that has a lot of drama, and quite often, Lord, we get caught up in that. So allow us, Lord, to seek your guidance and your wisdom above all things. And in our quest to not worry as much as we do, and give us a heart for serving, and give us a heart to know that you are in charge of the divine order of things, that you still love us, and that you still hold us in your heart, and you have a plan for each and every one of us. So, Lord, allow us to let go and let God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to invite anyone up here who's involved in the Great Thanksgiving, if you would please come forward at this time. She did sneak up on me. It's probably not the first time, it won't be the last. We know that at Passover time, Jesus went into the upper room with his disciples, and it was there following the Passover that he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these mighty acts, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them become for us the body and the blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. In the Methodist Church, you don't have to be a member of this church or any other church in order to partake of the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord's table is open and available to anyone who would like to come. We do this by intinction, in which we take a piece of the common loaf and we offer it to you and you dip it in the cup. We also have gluten-free options so that everyone might be included. The table is prepared.